We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on the Freedom from Addiction segment. And I'm excited to welcome the program, Reverend Wynn Henderson. Wynn, how are you? Thanks for stopping by. And we're going to talk about part two today. Again, we talked about how the doctors are suing the FDA regarding COVID-19. And we're going to go into more details about that today.
All right, Neil. We divided this up to make three segments out of it because the complaint as filed was really too long, and we don't want to get anybody bored. So we're going to get into some allegations relative to all counts today.
All right, let's hit it.
COVID-19 has reportedly caused the death of more than 100,000 Americans in merely a few months this year. Roughly half whom have contracted and died from this disease while residing in nursing homes. That's pretty amazing there.
Yeah.
By denying elderly nursing home patients access to HCQ when COVID-19 affects those patients more severely than younger patients, the EUD disparately impacts the elderly and thus discriminates on the basis of age within the meaning of Section 1557 of the Affordable Care Act and the Age Discrimination Act of 1975. By the end of May 2020, pharmaceutical companies donated more than 150 million doses of HCQ, enough to fully treat more than 15 million people, to the federal government for immediate use in treating COVID-19 as part of their efforts for prevention and treatment of coronavirus outbreak. Yet, the vast majority of these 150 million doses of HCQ have not been distributed to the public and are in imminent danger of spoilage due to the passage of time amid the increasing temperatures as summer continues. Multiple foreign governments, including China, India, South Korea, Costa Rica, United Arab Emirates, and Turkey, successfully recommend the use of HCQ for early, remember that's early, treatment of COVID-19 and for the prophylaxis of the disease, that is, keeping you from getting it. Multiple studies confirm the effectiveness of HCQ as an early treatment for COVID-19. For example, a recent study in India where HCQ is being widely used as prophylaxis concluded that the pivotal finding of our study was the noteworthy benefits of HCQ prophylaxis. The National Task Force for COVID-19 in India recommended once a week maintenance dose for 7 weeks at 400 milligrams once a week, following the loading dose of 400 milligrams twice a day. There are no peer-reviewed or meritorious studies showing a lack of HCQ safety for COVID-19 patients. Retrospective studies cited in the media, to the contrary, are flawed, and they inform the public of irrational decision making because they compare outcomes without involving like patient populations. For example, the HCQ patients may have been more sick than the non-HCQ patients or may have come from geographic areas with more acute exposures, which would explain higher rates of negative outcomes without showing in any way that HCQ caused or contributed to those outcomes. There have been dramatic differences in saving lives in countries allowing early and prophylactic use of HCQ compared to the United States. And they have put in a table in the complaint showing a number of countries, starting with India, with 2 deaths per million, all the way up to the United States with 278 deaths per million. And the lower numbers, of course, are the countries that use early and prophylactic use of the drug. And in the United States, they use late and only in hospitalized patients. Now, as explained by experts in a recent article published by the New York Times, acting before or very soon after an infection is the best way to handle most viral diseases. Why aren't we focusing on that with COVID-19? We believe that trials of prophylactic and therapeutic drugs for asymptomatic and mild cases have a greater chance of success than does administering these drugs in critically ill patients, as well as greater long-term potential to benefit more people overall. This was by Richard Malley and Mark Lipstich. An eminent professor of epidemiology in the Department of Epidemiology and Public Health at the Yale School of Public Health and the Yale School of Medicine, Harvey A. Risch, stated likewise in a peer-reviewed medical journal, an outpatient treatment that prevents hospitalization is desperately needed. Hydroxychloroquine with azithromycin has been widely misrepresented in both clinical reports and public media. Evidence about the use of HCQ alone or HCQ and azithromycin in inpatients is irrelevant concerning efficacy of the pair in early, high-risk outpatient disease. 5 studies, including 2 control clinical trials, have demonstrated significant major outpatient treatment efficacy. That means it works. HCQ and azithromycin has been used as the standard of care in more than 300,000 older adults with multi-comorbidities, with estimated proportion diagnosed with cardiac arrhythmias attributed to medication. That's 47 out of 100,000 users, of which the estimated mortality is only 9 out of 100,000. Compare that to the 10,000 Americans now dying each week. These medications need to be widely available and promoted immediately for physicians. And Harvey Risch has his paper characterized next. The BBC reported on the success of Turkey in keeping its mortality low from COVID. Chief Dr. Nurettin Yitgit says that it's key to use hydroxychloroquine is early use. Other countries are using this drug too late, he says, especially the United States. We only use it at the beginning. We have no hesitation about this drug. We believe it's effective because it gets results. National Public Radio recently quoted expert John Giles, an epidemiologist and rheumatologist at Columbia University Department of Medicine. He said, it's a very, very safe drug. It's been used for over 75 years. When I give someone hydroxychloroquine, I don't get an EKG or do blood monitoring. more than 25 articles since 1982, published in peer-reviewed medical journals, have reported on the safety of HCQ. The CDC, which is a division within the defendant HHS, declares the safety of HCQ in one of its publications posted at its website. The question, how long is it safe to use hydroxychloroquine? The CDC says, we have no limits on the use of hydroxychloroquine for the prevention of malaria, which was the disease they were talking about. When hydroxychloroquine is used at high doses for many years, a rare eye condition called retinopathy has occurred. So people with hydroxychloroquine treatment for more than 5 years should get regular eye exams. But you got to realize that this treatment program used in the community for early cases only goes on a week or two. The president of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele, announced that he is taking HCQ as a prophylaxis against COVID, and that most world leaders were doing the same thing. He said, I use it prophylactically. Sorry about the interruption. He says, I use it prophylactically. And he posted on the White House website, and he said about America and Brazil's cooperation, the American and Brazilian people stand in solidarity on the fight against the coronavirus. Today, as a demonstration of that solidarity, we are announcing the United States government has delivered 2 million doses of HCQ to the people of Brazil. So the United States government has given Brazil 2 million doses, but they have 150 million doses that they're sitting on in their strategic stockpile, which they're not giving to Americans. HCQ will be used as a prophylactic to help defend Brazil's nurses, doctors, and healthcare professionals against the virus. And they said prophylactically. That means that you take a small dose for a long period of time while you're treating COVID patients to keep from getting the disease. And it will also be used as a therapeutic agent to treat Brazilians who become infected. The disputed portion of the EUA by the Federal Drug Administration is in its clinical and hospitalization restrictions. And it is as follows. Hydroxychloroquine sulfate may only be used to treat adults and adolescent patients who weigh 50 kilograms or more, who are hospitalized with COVID-19 and for whom a clinical trial is not available or participation is not feasible. So the FDA is saying in their emergency use authorization that it can only be used in hospitalized patients. And what the doctors in this lawsuit are saying is, well, that's not relevant. We don't want to use it in hospitalized patients. We want to use it before they get to the hospital to keep them from going into the hospital. Now, these restrictions by the FDA deny patients the use of HCQ for its prophylactic effect. And the limit requires that patients already have COVID and they deny non-hospitalized patients, such as nursing home residents and patient who visits physician's office. They deny them access to the drug and even deny or restrict access to hospitalized patients for whom clinical trials are available. So you see how this FDA thing is a death sentence.
Oh yeah. I mean, this is again the process that they're keeping people from being treated so that they end up getting their legs amputated when they go to the hospital. They end up dying of other complications because of COVID-19. Instead of treating them early and making so that they don't get hospitalized.
Right. So the next point that these doctors in their lawsuit said was that these EUA-related criteria are in dispute is whether the limits of the EUA, scope of authorization, is necessary with respect to patients who are not hospitalized with COVID and for whom a clinical trial is not available or participation is not feasible. So we're talking about two different things here. The FDA is using this EUD to keep people that can be treated successfully, and I found thousands of patients, that is very same thing is happening in states around the United States, before they get so sick that they got to go to the hospital. And yet our government is not allowing them to give that medication under fear of license restriction or license being pulled from doctors and pharmacists if they do. It's a terrible situation. So the defendant's rationale, because safety is determined with respect to patients, not diseases, HCQ has been proved to be safe for 65 years and has been fully approved by the FDA as safe throughout this entire period. The EUA misleads the public by falsely pretending that a medication approved as safe in treating one disease can somehow not be safe in treating another disease. The EUA further misleads the public with this rationale that by falsely implying that a medication approved as safe for one use requires time-consuming additional studies of safety before it can be properly used to treat a new disease. Well, ACQ is generic. It doesn't cost much of anything. And so there's no incentive in getting these studies, not to mention the fact that by requiring these type of studies means that thousands and thousands of Americans are going to die.
Yes.
With respect to patients with COVID-19 who are not hospitalized, the FDCA, the Constitution's federalist structure, and the presumptive against preemption all suggest that Congress did not intend defendants to supersede a prescribing medical professional's judgment for off-label uses. The Constitution did not give the power to the government to tell doctors how to prescribe. Well, with respect to patients not infected with COVID for whom HCQ is prescribed or sought for its prophylactic effect, the EUA stated safety concern about its effect on patients infected with COVID, and that doesn't apply to patients non-infected with COVID. With respect to the EUA seeking to push patients into clinical trial in lieu of having their medical professional prescribe the drug, the defendants lack the authority to limit access that way. significantly. Not everyone who participates in a randomized control clinical trial even receives the drug in question, as usually half the participants in a clinical trial receive a placebo and thus would not receive any HCQ. The EUA discriminates against everyone who is outside the hospital. Residents of nursing homes, physicians who care for nursing home patients, physicians having office practices, and patients who are treated in connection with office visits. The discrimination against these millions of people threatens to cause their unnecessary loss of life and unnecessary illness, and thereby injures the AAPS members and their patients. Multiple studies suggest that HCQ is more effective if used early in the progression of the disease, as other antiviral medicines like Tamiflu is, and the blanket federal limitations in the EUA are arbitrary, irrational, and unjustified in interfering with early treatment of HCQ. These arbitrary, irrational, and unjustifiable limitations by the FDA prevent the use of HCQ as prophylaxis, as President Trump and other world leaders are using it, and prevent nursing home residents from receiving it, where more than half of COVID mortalities have reportedly occurred. Never before in the history of the United States has an emergency use authorization been issued to restrict the use of an old and safe medication, as the defendants have improperly done with respect to COVID, with respect to HCQ in COVID. The EUA restrictions on this use of this long approved medication is outside the scope of any statutory authorization. And as customary, state regulatory officials have imitated or relied upon this unjustified FDA policy as commanded by the Federation of State Medical Boards. The Federation of State Medical Boards, which directs state medical boards that wield complete authority over licenses to practice medicine, relied on that EUA, and they said clinicians should avoid prescribing for themselves or their family members and should be aware that, listen to this, deviating from the standard of care talked about in this EUA could put their licenses at risk. Now, how many doctors do you think would, taking this warning, want to treat patients early? I researched this in a 3-county area this week and called 35 different physicians' offices. And in 3 counties, there was not one single physician or physician's assistant that could prescribe that would treat an early COVID patient. So they're getting this fear factor in that you can't even find a doctor in many places who will be able to give you this because they have threatened them with loss of their license and their jobs. And so that's where we're at with this lawsuit. And I'm going to give you the wrap up.
Yeah, I have questions. Because as a journalist, especially looking at this, the thing is that other countries are using COVID-19 to treat their patients. Is that correct, Wayne?
HCQ.
I mean, it's HCQ. They're using COVID-19 to treat them. But yeah, HCQ. Are they using it? Hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, I think the lowest death rate is in India, 2 per million. But for the countries that don't use early treatment, like the United States, 270 some deaths per million.
No, this is a complete conspiracy because they rip apart the United States on the media saying we have the worst number of cases and how many deaths we're having compared to other countries in the world. And yet we're not allowed to use the medication that's working in those other countries.
That's right. I've been going for the truth just below the surface and trying to find doctors who actually have the guts to prescribe early. And what I found is maybe 1,000 patients in my research who have not gotten sick enough to go to the hospital after receiving this early medication, which has been proven and even agreed upon by the FDA, which is successful, and which the government is holding in their stockpile 150 million doses, which could go bad over the summer if they don't release it.
Yep. So there you go. And that's, so we'll see what happens. What are the chances of this lawsuit going through? Meaning that they have to make those changes and that hydroxychloroquine will be available to the public more.
Well, anybody that wants to wager on a court on what they might do is foolish.
Exactly. It's foolish. All right. So everyone needs to go to RevWynHendersonMD.com, and you can catch up on Lipson where to for all the podcasts. Where can we go?
Yeah, the podcast is free, and it will tell you the latest stuff on this virus and what they're hiding from you, the public. Go to www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N.com. And no spaces, no capitalizations. If you got it right, it will take you immediately to my podcast, and you can hear this podcast and many others that will bring you the truth of the situation.
Oh, well, I appreciate you coming by, man. It was another great topic, great information. And what you guys have to do, if you're listening on the radio, if you're listening on the podcast, is share. So I appreciate you coming by, Wynn, and thanks again.
Okay, bye-bye, Neil.
You're listening to Neil Haley's Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.